नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Quachit. As far as transactions with money are concerned, if one person cheats another by a farthing or less, they become enemies. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. This is called samsara davanala. Even in ordinary transactions between two people, there is invariably cheating because the conditioned soul is defective in four ways. He is illusioned. He commits mistakes. His knowledge is imperfect and he has the propensity to cheat. Unless one is liberated from material conditioning, these four defects must be there. Consequently, every man has a cheating propensity, which is employed in business or money transactions. Although two friends may be living peacefully together, due to their propensity to cheat, they become enemies when there is a transaction between them. A philosopher accuses an economist of being a cheater, and an economist may accuse a philosophy of being a cheater when he comes in contact with money. In any case, this is the condition of material life. One may profess a high philosophy, but when one is in need of money, he becomes a cheater. In this material world, so-called scientists, philosophers, and economists are nothing but cheaters in one way or another. The scientists are cheaters because they present so many bogus things in the name of science. They propose going to the moon, but actually, they end up cheating the entire public of large sums of money for their experiments. They cannot do anything useful. Unless one can find a person transcendental to the four basic defects, one should not accept advice and become a victim of the material condition. The best process is to take the advice and instructions of Sri Krishna or his bona fide representative. In this way, one could be happy in this life and the next. As far as transactions with money are concerned, if one person cheats another by a farthing or less, they become enemies. We are reading this morning from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 14, entitled The Forest of Enjoyment, Text Number 26. Shukadev Goswami is describing with profound realization the condition of the people within this forest of material enjoyment, especially when they are struck by the dastardly enemy of greed. Bhagavad Gita describes that there are three gates leading to hell: lust, anger, and greed. And every sane person should give them up, for they lead to the degradation of the soul. We find this infatuation of greed practically from the beginning of creation. Greed and lust are very similar. It is the passion to possess and to enjoy. Lust or kama is when the senses cry out for pleasure. Kama esha krodha esha rajo guna samuddhaha. Krishna explains that this lust is the most deadly and sinful enemy of the world. Because it infatuates and intoxicates a person's consciousness in such a way we lose our intelligence. And when it is not satisfied, we become angry and degrade ourselves. So yes, we have seen historically even very great powerful personalities, both materially, politically, and even spiritually, are victimized by the power of kama, or lust, the desire to enjoy through the senses. And subtle lust is for profit, adoration, and distinction, a subtle type of sense gratification for the mind, the intelligence, and the false ego. The Bhagavatam declares that the basic principles of material bondage are janasya mohoya mahamma meti. That I am this body, and those things in relation to this body are mine. In a sense, we can explain it in this way. Things can be explained from different perspectives. What is lust? I am the enjoyer. It is I. And therefore we want to somehow or other find some satisfaction between the senses and their objects. And that the power of that urge can be so great. Yatato hyapikonteya purushasya vipaschita indriyani pramatini haranti prashabhamana. The senses are so strong and impetuous that they have the power even to carry away a person of discrimination who is trying to control them. How is it on this chariot of human life, these five senses, like horses, can just drag our life into the most abominable, shameful conditions? And there's danger at every step. Sometimes even pious people, they just get caught or somehow or other victimized by this arrow of Cupid. Penetrates their heart, sets it on fire, and they lose their intelligence. I am the enjoyer. But then there's this powerful force of Maya, the conception of mine. We want to possess. We want to be proprietor. This is another unlimitedly powerful force of Maya. It takes the form of greed. I want to possess. I want to be proprietor. Because proprietorship gives facility to satisfy our lust. This is the illusion of Maya. The more you have, the more you can enjoy. We have so many lusty desires. And if I have money, which is the basic foundational principle of wealth in this world, then I could buy land, I can buy houses, I could buy fine foods, I could buy fine clothes, I could buy all kinds of facilities to enjoy hearing and seeing, best televisions, best stereos, best automobiles. Yes? What's between you and having all those treasures of Maya? Money. Hare Krishna. So money is very precious. Money facilitates the satisfaction of our greed and our lust. Even to get a good mate in this world, sometimes money is very important. People are very attracted to wealthy people who can supply vast quantities of sense gratification with security throughout my life. And prestige is a form of lust in which we want recognition, we want respect, and we want power. Wealth brings power. Therefore, this insatiable element of greed, lobha, acts in the same way as lust. It burns like fire. You can never get enough. Once you become victimized to serve that propensity, the more you feed it, the more it wants. That is greed. Isha Upanishad describes how to deal with this greed. That we should only accept what we need for the basic maintenance of the necessities of life. And be satisfied with that. If you're not satisfied with that, you'll never be satisfied with anything else. And utilize all the rest in the service of God, for the welfare of others. Yes, we see people who were victimized by greed. Hiranyaksha, Hiranyakashipu, Ravana, Kumbhakarna. So much greed they had. So much lust they had. Not only did Ravana want to steal Sita from Ram, but he also wanted a whole kingdom made of gold. Not gold leaf. Solid gold. Srila Prabhupada explains that there is a theory that Kumbhakarna had gold mines in Brazil and Argentina. And they had underground tunnels to transport them to Sri Lanka for the pleasure of his elder brother. Hare Krishna. But was it ever enough? Ravana had a beautiful wife. He had a city made out of gold. But still, he wanted more. He wanted Sita for his lust. And he was trying to build a staircase to to Swargaloka to conquer Indra's abode. He wasn't satisfied with his beautiful Viman that he stole from Kuvera. He wasn't satisfied with a city of gold on a beautiful island. He wanted more property, more wealth, more power. That is greed. Money or currency is the very personified symbol of Maya's potency to awaken greed in our heart. We can trace within the Kali Yuga this phenomena back to the time of Maharaj Parikshit. Kali has a force that creates intensive misery through provoking quarrel and hypocrisy. There can be no peace of mind when there is quarrel and hypocrisy. Whether it's in the marriage life or in the brahmachari ashram or anywhere else, in politics, in the business place, where there's quarrel, there's internal suffering. Where there's hypocrisy, there's no trust. Without trust, there could be no love. Without love and trust, the heart is vacant. It is empty. Life becomes superficial. So yes, Kali is expert. By just provoking these two principles of quarrel and hypocrisy, can conquer the entire world. And how to do that? Wherever Kali's presence is, quarrel and hypocrisy will reign. So he was beating the bull, the cow, torturing them, breaking the very legs of Dharma. And Parikshit Maharaj came, drew his sword, and was about to eliminate Kali forever from this world. But Kali was so intelligent, so deceitful, although he was the arch enemy of Parikshit, who represents Dharma. He was the grand nephew of Dharmaraj, Yudhisthira. Dharma, real religion, is the ultimate enemy of Kali. Why didn't he fight? Because he knew that before God's devotee, the representative of the Lord, he was powerless. Kali's ultimate enemy, as far as his service goes, is Krishna. He's trying to take everyone away from Krishna. And he knows by the power of Krishna, he has no potency whatsoever. So here is Parikshit Maharaj, the representative of Krishna, empowered by Krishna. So Kali knew he had no hope, he had no chance. So he, in a very deceitful and superficial way, surrendered. Now, if he really surrendered, he would have, for the rest of his life, done whatever Parikshit Maharaj wanted. Yes? But he didn't do that. He was just trying to figure out some way to get around this crisis. He was on the verge of death. Hare Krishna. So he surrendered, knowing the nature of a great soul. That when you submit yourself before them, they forgive you. So Maharaj Pariksit, in one sense, this was his weakness. He was a forgiving Vaishnav. And Kali wanted to take advantage of that. What a rascal. What a rascal. If it was somebody else, they would have just, poof, off with your head, demon. But he surrendered, knowing that Pariksit Maharaj was a traditional Kshatriya. You don't kill someone if they surrender, if they put down their arms before you, even if they're duplicitous and deceitful. He was a real Kshatriya. He's a real Vaishnav. So Pariksit Maharaj said, but you cannot stay in my kingdom. But I've surrendered to you. Now you must protect me like you protect everyone else. You must give me some place. Some place where I could perform according to my propensity. To paralyze people's lives with quarrel and hypocrisy. To rape society of everything that has dignity. Hare Krishna. All right. You can reside wherever there is illicit sex, intoxication, gambling, and meat-eating. Wherever these four principles are, that is the abode of Kali. Kali is the controller of that situation. But Kali, very, very thoughtful, said, as long as you're king, these things cannot exist. Give me some place. Wherever there is the greed for gold. Ah, Kali was very happy with that. And see what happened through that one little gateway. Krishna says, Trivedam narakashyedam dwaram nashidam atmana kamakrodas tata lobas, that there are three gateways leading to hell: lust, anger, and greed. He got that gateway into greed. Wherever there is greed for gold, wherever that takes place, gradually there will be the degradation into illicit sex, intoxication, gambling, and meat eating. Hare Krishna. Now, currency is the Kali Yuga very cheap, unreliable standard of gold. Yes? There used to be gold coins. But there's so many people who want so much. They start making currency. And originally, currency represented a certain amount of gold in some depository government facility. In America, it was Fort Knox, I believe. They had huge amounts of gold. And every penny, nickel, dime, or dollar you had represented a certain amount of gold in that bank. And therefore it had value. But with inflation, nobody knows what represents anything anymore. What to speak of inflation counterfeiting? But still, money can buy so much. It's like when we were giving lecture at the sports complex on Marine Drive. There was a big hoarding right over us. It said, money cannot buy love, but everything else you can get with a Visa card. Something like that. Yes. It is true. People, so much greed, so much infatuation. Where is the simplicity of life? In the olden days, people bartered. You know, you grow grains, and someone else is a blacksmith. So you trade your what you make with iron and steel. You trade it for some grains, and you're both happy. Someone is taking care of cows. Someone else is a carpenter. Give him some milk. He'll build you a house. It's very nice. That's the way things were. But look at how complicated things are. First currency, gold. Then there's not enough gold, so they start printing paper. Yes? And one of our dear friends makes the security ink for 90% of the currency in the world. And what a challenge it is to make ink that is so secure that people can't counterfeit it, and still they do. In fact, he was telling me that when countries are enemies with one another, one of the things they do is they print massive quantities of currency in your enemy's form of currency. And then you smuggle it into the country. Billions and billions of rupees coming into India, which are counterfeit. And it actually has a very serious effect of crippling the economy by creating artificial inflation, and people don't know what money's real and not. Very difficult. So that's just currency. But then to complicate it more, there's checking accounts. Checking accounts are so-called very convenient. You don't have to carry money around. Because after all, greed, if you're carrying money around and people know you have it, you could be beaten and robbed and killed. Yes? Happens thousands of times every day. Pickpockets. Gangs, robbers, people are desperate for money. They'll do anything for money. Beg, borrow, steal, kill. Hare Krishna. Prahlad Maharaj said, money is the honey for a materialistic person. It's very sweet. How much it could facilitate so much. Prestige and enjoyment and power. Hare Krishna. So now you don't have to carry currency. Just carry your checkbook. But then, more complications. Don't even need a checkbook. A credit card. A little piece of plastic. Yes? And I know so many people whose lives were practically ruined by these little pieces of plastic. Because you just think you have so much power. Because you have a little piece of plastic. What a Kali Yuga situation. This little square of worthless plastic gives you so much power. You can just go to the airport and show it, and you can get a first-class airplane from here to London. Hare Krishna. And not even have to have a penny or a paisa. Hare Krishna. Or you can go and just with that little piece of plastic, you can buy an automobile. Could buy a house. Could buy anything. But the problem is, you have to pay back. If you don't pay back, everything is taken away and you may be put in prison. Yes? Very difficult. But it's so infatuating, so intoxicating. This is Kali. Please understand. This is all Kali's influence. She's the one that's designing these credit cards through her puppets. Yes? She's the one who's design. He is the one who's designing all the benefits and all the conditions. And then people just lose control. They're impulsive. They see something they want. Look, I had. And they get it. And they see something else. And then at the end of the day, how am I going to pay for this? Becomes impulsive. Very, very dangerous. And yes, I know so many people. They put tens and thousands of dollars or hundreds and thousands of rupees on their credit card, and at the end of the month they have nothing and no way to repay it. Hare Krishna. And if you don't repay it, then your credit, integrity, is taken away from you. You have no more credit. What is it called? You can't get another one. Your credit is worthless. You've lost your reputation. It's on computers all over the world that you can't pay your bills. And that is worse than death in this plastic society. For the rest of your life, very bad. But it happens to millions of people a year. And then some other credit card allures you by saying, even though your credit rating is finished, we'll give you another credit card. Whoever you are, just come to us. Hare Krishna. It's a trap. It's like a spider saying to the fly that my web is just designed for you to sleep peacefully. Hare Krishna. But now credit cards. Kali Yuga is really progressing. Oh, Kali personified, how intelligent you are. Now even credit cards are being outdated to more complex, sophisticated ways of electrical transfers. Yes? Pretty soon they're going to put in your fingerprints some sort of credit card. So you just go up and touch something and then they give you whatever you want. God knows what they're going to do next. They're using their creative imagination just for more and more complex ways of getting people entangled in the network of greed. Go premanandi. So this money is how it destroys relationships is described here in this verse today. The most sacred, holy, and important thing in life is relationships. Who can argue with that? The ultimate relationship is our relationship with God, with Krishna. And within this world, there's nothing more satisfying the heart, even on a mundane plane, than good relationships. The relationship between the husband and the wife. The relationship between the parents and the children. The relationship between the grandparents and all the other relatives. The relationship between friends. The relationship between teammates. Relationships give satisfaction to the heart because it is only in relationships that we can experience a sense of love. Either real love, when that relationship is centered around God, or the illusory form of love, when it is based on other people without the proper focus. But love is relationship, is it not? And that's the only thing that touches the heart, is relationship. What is bhakti? Bhakti is simply about relationships. If you look at Goloka Vrindavan, as it was manifest in this world as Gokul, there's nothing but relationships going on. Krishna's relationship with all the Brijbasis, with every blade of grass, with every flower, with every shrub, with every stone, with every insect, with every animal, with every human being. Each one had a loving, intimate relationship with Krishna based on service. And everyone, on the basis of pleasing Krishna, had the most intimate, loving relationship with each other. Vaikuntha is called the place of no anxiety. Why? Because all the relationships are centered around pleasing Krishna. Then there's no anxiety. As soon as we take the focus of our relationships around Krishna, then where does the focus come? I and mine. Either concentrated or extended. And then as soon as we become the center instead of Krishna, then our relationships are fallible. By the intervention of Kali's influence, even a loving relationship can become a war between enemies. Have you seen? In married life, husbands and wife fighting, insulting each other, torturing each other. And after many years of knowing each other, you know exactly how to torture the other. You've studied the subject very scrutinizingly. How to please you and how to torture you. I know everything. Hare Krishna. And sometimes it decays into that. And divorce. So much divorce. And children. Children. It's a universal principle of brothers and sisters and brothers and brothers and sisters fighting. Fighting over toys. Fighting over who's stronger. Yes, so much fighting. But what is Vaikuntha about? It's because Krishna is in the center of relationships. Because everyone is in a spirit of servant rather than enjoyer. There's no anxieties. Why is there no anxieties? Because there's no quarrel and there's no hypocrisy. Everyone trusts each other. Everyone loves each other. It's real happiness. As soon as we put ourselves in the focus, then the potential for misery, quarrel, and hypocrisy appears. Very difficult. So in Vrindavan, Krishna is enjoying intimate relationships with everything and everyone. Factually, there's nothing but relationships in Vrindavan. Even when the demons come, Krishna has a relationship with them. To his mother, his relationship is Vatsalya Ras, as a helpless son. To the gopis, his relationship is the most intimate lover. To his friends, the best, most humorous and enjoyable friend. To those in Dasyaras, the relationship is, he is my master. I'll do anything and everything, whatever he orders. And when the demons come in, the relationship is, they're coming to kill Krishna with hatred. And Krishna's reciprocating with mercy. Some of them he's sending to Vaikuntha. Some of them he's sending to the Brahmajyoti. But every one of them he's giving causeless mercy. It's all relationship. That's what life is about. You can't be happy unless you have strong, intimate, satisfying relationships. That example is giving. If you are the proprietor of everything in the world, but there's no one in the world except you. You have all the best cars. You can go to any showroom and take a Mercedes-Benz or a Rolls-Royce and drive it anywhere you want. Petrol is free because every petrol pump is your property. Hare Krishna, you could get on any airplane, and if you know how to fly, you could fly anywhere you want. You could just choose the most beautiful home. Everything is yours. But if you're the only person on the planet, will you be happy? You'll go crazy. You'll go totally crazy. You'll end up in living in your insane asylum. You won't know what to do. If one little bird comes and lands on your finger, oh, you wouldn't give up that relationship for anything in the world because there's someone you could relate to. So relationship is so important. But how in this age of Kali especially, even the best relationships can disintegrate into battle and warfare when money comes between us. And we have seen it again and again and again. Big business houses. At one time when they weren't so big, the family was dining together. They were shopping together. They were doing sports and vacations together. The children, all the different children of the uncles and the aunts were like brothers. They had such intimate relationship. There was hardly even a difference between one's siblings and one's cousins. Just like family. It is family. And everyone's helping one another through their problems and difficulties in life. It happens thousands of times a day all over the world. And then they start making lots of money. And what happens? Look, as soon as making money is not bad. But when that greed for money comes, when you're not following the formula of Ishopanishad, just take what you need and use the rest for Krishna. As soon as you don't do that, it's not a matter of maybe or if. It's a matter of when. Because Kali is present. Quarrel and hypocrisy. Slightest mistake. Slightest little cheating of a farthing or less can make brothers, sisters, or best friends, or God brothers and God sisters into enemies for the rest of their lives. Cannot even look at each other in the face. Even living in the same house, it happens all over the world every day. And it's one of the favorite topics of newspapers and magazines. Yes. What is more precious to the father than the children having loving, trusting relationships with each other? And the father works so hard, like an ass, foaming at the mouth to supply something great for the children. May create an entire empire with genius and hard work and manipulation, and starts growing old, and the only value of this empire is for the children to live together with loving relationship, and then they can give it to their children, my grandchildren and my great-grandchildren. Oh, what a wonderful, benevolent person I am. To my loving family, I'm going to give such an estate. But usually what happens? You die. That always happens, actually. And then, you know, some people just can't wait. They start fighting over the will. They start fighting over the property. And they start interpreting the will in various ways. These days, if fathers and mothers want to keep peace in the family, they have to have top lawyers just looking at every little detail and possible loophole in their will. So that there won't be any unclear passages to contend. That's very difficult. And you have to have all kinds of witnesses. Because then your children, actually he said this, but actually he said this to me. And he meant this. When he signed this, he told me this is what he meant. No, this is what he meant. You need witnesses. It's a whole legal thing. But even after the will, the whole business, there it is. It's for you. It's for you, my dear children. Live together peacefully in great prosperity. And then who has control? Who gets these resources? Who gets this profit? Enemies. Start dividing things up. The brothers become enemies. The grandchildren become enemies. The great-grandchildren become enemies. Hare Krishna. Why? Because Srimad Bhagavatam is correct. That's why. Wherever there is greed for money, there will be quarrel and hypocrisy. Because Kali will reign with all his powers in that place. And Kali is very intelligent. It's not that he'll just do it all at once. He may, but he may just by one atomic molecule to the other, he'll just set you up till you're in the right position where there's war. And I've seen in religious societies how much fighting there is. Sometimes religions split into different denominations because of different ideologies. But if you study carefully history, there's usually a lot of economic issues involved too. Who gets this property? Who gets control of that? Who gets this power and this wealth to control over? Hare Krishna. And I can tell you time and again, even in the Hare Krishna movement, I have seen best friends become enemies as soon as money comes between them. I can give you dozens of examples, but I don't want to do that. But I'll give you a couple without mentioning any names. This is amongst my God brothers who are living together as loving friends for years and years and years and years. And they decide to do a business together because they love each other. They want to work together. They wouldn't want to be anywhere else but to work together. So satisfying. Our families can be united. We could be in the office together instead of an office with all kinds of greedy people we're working under. So sweet, isn't it? And they made a business. And they wanted to give so much of it to Krishna afterward, at least that was what they said. And they took a loan. This is a true story, accurate, with no names. They took a loan from another devotee who desperately needed that money, but they said, just give us a loan, we'll pay it back in full in 1 year. It was a sizable amount of money. Do you want to hear this story? There wasn't much enthusiasm in that. So they took the loan and they worked together, and it was a blissful situation. They were really, really, really united, and they started manufacturing this particular product and they made a large profit. But they were thinking, they were just like on the roll, as they say. They were just making so much unexpectedly successful profits. And after 1 year, they were thinking, let's expand the business. And they told that person, they asked that person, can you allow us to not pay you back this year? We'll reinvest it, make more products, and pay you back next year. He said, yes, of course, because he trusted. And the next year they made more products, and those products failed. Finished. They take a huge loss. And all the families were in debt. And they still had this loan to a devotee. Sizable loan. So the different families were saying, and then they decided to divide the business in different sectors. So they divided the business in different sectors. But there was still the loan, which was for all of them. And one sector of best friends said, actually, it's you owe the money. And the other person said, no, you owe the money. And the other, no, no, you owe the money. And meanwhile, this poor devotee had no money. And he was saying, I need the money. I need the money. The year is over. And neither one would take responsibility. Each one was convinced that the other sector that they divided into two sectors after the loan. Each one was saying, you owe this money. No, you owe this money. And they became vicious enemies. They fought like cats and dogs for months and months and months. And the whole community of devotees in that situation was suffering miserably. So finally, a third party had to go to that person who gave the money and said, you know, if you don't just give all that, which was a lot, as a donation, then there's going to be a civil war. So he did that. Took a great loss. Lost so much trust. And yet between those people, trust finished forever. They're not friends anymore. They're enemies. Probably for the rest of their lives to some extent. Why? Kali Yuga is so strange that even when loving God brothers go into money deal, I mean, arrangements of relationship where there's money involved, unless they have legal contracts, they'll each interpret it in a different way later on, and it'll be war. Better that there's legal contracts rather than do that. I've seen it happen again and again and again. To destroy even the spiritual relationship of God brothers, all Kali has to do is just put money between them. That is the power of greed. That is the power of Maya in the form of money. And no one is exempt except that person who follows the formula of Ishopanishad. I'll take what I need with no greed whatsoever, and everything's for Krishna. Otherwise, you could potentially be a victim. And how people become envious of each other because of money. Even brothers, sisters, godsisters, friends. One is making more than the other. Envy. Envy is like a fire that burns in your heart. Envy is a type of hatred. Not just simple jealousy, but envy over money. We have given the example of King Louis XIV. He made that gigantic palace in Versailles. And he was inviting princes and noblemen and kings from all other countries to come. And he would just give them so much
enjoyment.
The finest wines, the finest champagnes, the most luxurious suites to stay in, and incredible horseback riding, and beautiful gardens to walk in, and parties, and the most beautiful women, and everything he was providing. The event of their life to enjoy. Yes, and what happens? They were enjoying like anything, but in the meanwhile, in their hearts, envy was burning. He has all this and we don't. We cannot tolerate having anybody having so much more than us. So they provoked all kinds of politics and suspicions and rumors amongst the local people. And ultimately there was a revolution and they cut off his wife's head. I think they did the same to him. Finished. Arrivo. And it was all the plot and conspiracy of the people he was inviting to his house to give enjoyment. They were envious. You should know that. When you have something good, superficially people are going to say, oh, so nice. Yes. To ladies, oh, your hair looks so nice. That's what's in the mouth. But in the heart, but I want to tear every one of them out of your head. Sometimes it's like that. Yes. Oh, your sari is so nice. I'd like to just throw a bottle of ink all over it. I can't tolerate your having such a nice sari. Why? My sari is so simple. My husband doesn't give envy. Wealth creates envy. It doesn't create respect. If that's the kind of respect you want, there's not going to be any happiness in that. People get respect, people get prestige when they have a lot of money. But what kind of a respect? Nobody loves you for it. They either fear you, or they're envious of you, or they want to compete with you, or they want to exploit you or cheat you or somehow or other make friends with you to get whatever they can. Yes, I have talked to very wealthy people. They don't know who to trust. They don't know who their real friend is. Sometimes they don't even know what their relatives are thinking. And they're thinking, when I wasn't so rich, how simple and intimate life was. Now, you know, what is my children? What is my father? What is my brothers? What are they thinking? Are they trying to cheat me? Are they trying to... That's the consciousness that money can bring. It's real. And yet, people are working day and night for that. Here in Mumbai, you see the rush hour, you see the traffic, you see people just piled up in the trains. For what? You're the only ones who are doing it to come to a temple. Everyone else, it's to get some more money. People are mad after money. They're obsessed with money. And it's not that the wealthy people are any less greedy for money than the poor people. It's insatiable. It's how Kali works. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada gave us the formula of simple living and high thinking. Simple living and high thinking is not a civilization of infatuation, of greed and lust and anger and envy and pride. Just with the simplest things, be happy. Prabhupada said, for a devotee, we are happy simply chanting Hare Krishna, associating with devotees, and getting a little prasad. That's all we need. And if we just have facilities to provide for that, then we're happy. If you're not happy with that, you'll never be happy with anything else. But still, even as devotees, we're affected by the propaganda of Kali. I need more. I need more. I need more. But the more you get, as Shyamananda Prabhu was describing yesterday, I was secretly listening to the class. The more you get, the more you need. And the more you get, the more you have to be always on the alert to protect what you have, because so many other people want to take it. We read the story of Nala Kuvera, Manigriva. They had wealth, they had beauty, they had high education and very prestigious birth. And they became puffed up, arrogant, did not honor the sage Narada Muni when he came before them. So Srila Prabhupada explains in great depth in his explanation how when you have a lot, oftentimes you don't let sadhus come to your house. Yes, a poor person, the door's open. Because nobody wants anything you have, because you don't have anything. So anybody could just come in and say, good morning, oh, good morning, and embrace, and sit on a little straw mat and eat some chapatis together. It's a nice life. But if you have a lot, someone comes to your door. Dogs. Recently, I was in a wealthy neighborhood of Moscow, just trying to take a japa walk. And every house you go to, there's gates with all these pointed spears on the top of the gates in case you try to climb over, you'll get stabbed.
What?
Sometimes electrical currents going through the gates and big locks in the gates. And that's not enough. You're just walking by these gates of people's houses, like prisons. And every time you walk by, I didn't hear a single not like that. There was no little poodles or cocker spaniels going. Huge dogs with deep voices. Everyone just barking, and they're just barking insanely. And Hare Krishna, and you're just sick. And they're trying to get under. They're trying to get you. They're sticking their heads and trying to sneak under the gate to eat you. Somehow or other, none of them got out. And every house was like that. A different dog at each house. Some of them had 3-4 dogs. Huge dogs. Then the next house. Then the next house. What a life. Those people inside the house have to hear this barking all day long. Every time somebody... And when you're walking by, they're looking at, what are you walking on the street in front of my house? I want to sleep. Their own dog is keeping them awake. So many difficulties. And still they get robbed. And still they get killed. Hare Krishna. So is there really freedom, liberation, and happiness in money? It's just the opposite. Destroys relationships. Makes friends and lovers into enemies. That is the potential. Unless it's used for Krishna. If there's a sense of charity, if there's a sense of servitude rather than greed, then Kali has no potency. As soon as there is a service attitude with a proper disposition, Kali's defeated. But as soon as there's greed, you are defeated. So what do we want? What do we hold sacred in our lives? When Jesus was on a mountain in the wilderness, Satan tried to tempt him. I will give you dominion over the whole world. I'll give you everything to control and to own. And Jesus said, get out from here, Hare Krishna. He didn't want anything. He had nothing. He told his apostles that they should just keep no possessions whatsoever. Just have your staff and the clothes you're wearing and go out and preach, because everything is the property of God and we are His children. Yes. You're free. I know a devotee who's become very wealthy. Very wealthy. Expert, intelligent businessman. And he tells me the best days of his life was when he was sleeping on the floor of the brahmachari ashram. Now life is so complex and he doesn't know who to trust or where to trust. Very difficult. So what do we want? Don't let Maya exploit your consciousness by thinking that money will ever bring you happiness, or proprietorship will ever give you relief. Our happiness is in taking a little prasad, associating devotees, doing some service, and chanting the holy names. Srila Prabhupada said, chant Hare Krishna and be happy. That is the real formula of happiness. Bhoktaram yagatapasam sarvaloka maheshwaram. What is the peace formula? That Krishna is the proprietor of everything. Krishna is the enjoyer of everything. And Krishna is our best friend. Unless we have that faith and live by that principle, we cannot find real peace in our life. That is reality. So does that mean you should all leave your houses and find a kamandalu and go to the forest? No, you can go on with your occupation. You can go on with your family life and all of that. You could go on earning money. You can earn it. But don't be greedy. Understand. Be very, very careful to scrutinizingly understand that even though you're a devotee, you're not exempt if you have any greed in your heart. That money has that power. It has the power to make innocent, pure jivatmas into dacoits and criminals who cut people's throats without even the slightest hesitation just to get some land, money, or power. Make eternal servants of the Supreme Personality of Godhead less than vicious animals. It's happening all over the world. And it can happen to any of us. So we have to understand the science of Srimad Bhagavatam. And we have to very, very carefully protect ourselves. By understanding, it's all Krishna's property. Whatever I have, I'm just being entrusted with it to use it according to Krishna's will. And to use everything in a selfless spirit of servitude. Then money, if it's used in Krishna's service properly, then money does not come under the powers of Kali. It comes under the powers of Lakshmi Devi, who's blessing us eternally. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Go Premanandi. I think we should end here because it's very late. Thank you.